The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday in Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." Then as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, it seems that right now all we can devote our time to are the points in the bulletin. But right now it is a very busy time, and therefore we have to give time to that. Of course, there's no catechism class today. And while I'm thinking about it, I'd like to remind you that, as you know, that we are having all kinds of weather, and I think all of us went through some weather this morning. And I wish to remind you that one of the two candles that burn in the Relics Chapel is a candle that burns perpetually for our protection against storms and bad weather. So that's us, that means all of us. And that candle burns all the time, praising God and asking his blessing upon us, that no harm or danger or accident befall us due to weather or whatever. Because this is the first Sunday of the month and Father is away, there will be no Sunday Vespers of benediction this afternoon. Tuesday is the Feast of St. Nicholas. This is a very lovely occasion, and it should be an occasion for all of us to enjoy all about it. Over the years, in recent years especially, this feast has been somewhat confused, become confused, and there have been some misinterpretations and various interpretations about it. Let us give to the children on this feast something lovely. Let it be a joyful day, a beautiful day for not only the children but for the whole family. And when the littlest ones get up in the morning of St. Nicholas Day, let them know by some way or other that St. Nicholas has been there to see them during the night. And let this be, this is not Christmas now, this is St. Nicholas. Let us keep the two feasts, the two occasions, separate and distinct. But let us do something that is wise and prudent for the sake of the little children today. Wednesday of this week is the Vigil of the Immaculate Conception, and it is therefore a day of complete fast and abstinence. And of course, the feast itself of the Blessed Mother, the following day, Immaculate Conception, is a holy day of obligation. And we have here in this church masses at 6 and 8 in the morning, and again at 7 p.m. in the evening. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, no, that's for next week, I'm sorry. The reason for that is we put a lot of these advance notices in the bulletin because of the chapel in Montgomery, so that they get the information. That's why that is, but next Sunday we will announce the Ember Days. In the vestibule of the church, you will find a little book. It's entitled Santa in Bethlehem. This is a nice little book, and it's a safe book. It's an Orthodox book, and it gives a proper picture of the occasion. And I think it would be nice. We recommend it to each family to take one of these books. There's no particular charge. They were given to us, and so we pass them on. And it's well done, and is certainly lovely reading for those littlest children in the family. And that the parents will read this, mother or father will read this slowly, little by little, to the little children, and explain to them as you go reading what it's saying so that they understand. There's a good instruction concerning St. Nicholas in today's bulletin. We also included today in this bulletin the instructions for Christmas Day. Remember that this year Christmas falls on Sunday, so be aware of that as you read the instructions. There will be no confessions before any of the masses on Christmas Day. I will say it now, but again, it's because of the people of Montgomery. We included in today's bulletin the announcement and the presentation of the great O antiphons. Most of us know about the O antiphons, and that these should be included in your daily reading at the table beginning with the 17th of December. They are very lovely, and they should be read with some circumstance and some solemnity so that the children will take notice of how important the days before Christmas really and truly are. Again, this morning I bring to your attention and fair warning about the baking of the bread for the fourth Sunday of Advent. That's 2 weeks from today. Now, ladies, you have to bake the bread. And that is that. And bring the bread to church, and the priest will bless it, and you will take it home, and then the father at the table, when everybody's there, the family and friends even, if you have some friends over for dinner, the father then follows the instructions as we know about them. Now, the question comes, well, may I bring more than just one loaf of bread on that day? And the answer to that is yes. You can bring whatever bread you want. And this bread, of course, will be blessed and can be kept and used for Christmas Day or whenever you want to. You freeze it and use it whenever you want to. So be sure you get ready for that. It's a new custom for us, though it's not a new custom. And I think that you will find it very rewarding. I think I have covered all the points. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, it's Advent. And we need to keep before us a proper attitude toward this particular season. There are some misconceptions about it, and there are some un-Catholic presentations about it, and so on and so on and so on. We must try to keep a proper interpretation of this and the obligations and the duties that it places upon us during these days of Advent. Now, Advent is not Lent, and it should not be treated as Lent. Advent is a time of expectation. Lent is not. Lent is a time of real penance and looking. Lent looks forward, really, but not to a joyful thing, but Lent looks forward with great anxiety to the horrors of Good Friday. The two occasions are certainly quite different and demand different ways of observance. Now, you will find in today's bulletin, again, the emphasis placed on what have I given to my God for all that he has given to me. I will repeat it. What have I given to my God for all that he has given to me? Now, before we start and go any further, let us look around the world over. And let us for a moment not forget and bring back to mind, rather, the horrors that so much of the world population has had to suffer during these past several months. We, by the grace of God and his love and protection, have been spared. We have much indeed to be grateful for. Now you might ask, well then, that's good, that's fine. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to give? More prayers? The answer to that would probably right off be no. Fasting? The answer to that would be no. Should I go to church more often if I can? The prayer to that is no. Should I say additional rosaries every day during Advent? And prayer, and the answer to that would also be a no. And why are so many no's, N-O, being presented to things that, these are perfectly legitimate things. Why can't I do that? Why are you telling us not to do these things? I'm not really telling you not to do these things. You certainly can, and there's no harm in that. You certainly can, but that is not the thing that we're emphasizing, that we, that is for us to give to God, that He wants from me and from you. Then what am I to give my God? My will. What am I to give my God? My will. You see, in the first part, when all the no's were being brought out today, it's everything that I have determined. I have determined to fast. I have determined to say 3 rosaries extra a day. I have determined this. I have determined not to do that. It's always I. And when I want to cut it off, I can do so. I can turn it on or turn it off anytime and every time I choose to do just that. It's always me. And so when I give these rosaries, or whatever, to Almighty God. Now please don't misunderstand me and keep everything in context. I'm definitely not saying something against the rosary. I'm a strong rosary man myself. But I'm merely using that as an example. But if I choose to give 3 rosaries, this is a gift that I have prepared according to my own likes and dislikes. I'm the boss. Nobody else can interfere with that. Nobody else knows about it. It's all me. And so I'm giving me. And God's not satisfied with that. God's not at all satisfied with me. Then what am I giving when I give Him my will? My beloved people, every day that you get out of bed in the morning is a day when you will be confronted with 1,000,000 contradictions. Your children contradict you. Your husband contradicts you. Your wife contradicts you. Your mothers and fathers contradict you. Your friends, your employers, your neighbors, the people on the street, everybody contradicts you. And you know, nobody likes that. Nobody at all. That's a real penance. You and I, you have positively no control whatsoever over the next contradiction that's going to come and slap you in the face. Do you? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know the motive behind it. You don't know who it's going to be. You don't know where or when or how it's going to be, but it will be. And it will be, if I may use a little expression of mine, it will always be as unplanned as a hiccup. And it hurts. Always hurts. It humiliates, it hurts, it offends, and so on. That's when you, at that precise moment, when that slap comes to you in your face, that's the moment, the instant that you are going to give something to God. Something beautiful, something wonderful, and something most acceptable to God. That is giving up your will, my will. The I, the me, is taken out of whatever. Do not think to yourself, well now, that so-and-so is, he's got his comeuppance coming, and Almighty God will certainly take care of him or her. You do that, as you say, very much like a martyr, you know, dear God, I can't help that. It's, you know, the poor boy needs some help. It's his problem, and poor me, so on. Not at all, my dear people. Stop right there. If there is to be any retribution, it must come from God, and God does not need you nor me to keep him reminded of any retribution that might be in store. We simply accept the rebuke, or accept the contradiction, or accept the humiliation, or whatever. We simply accept it and say, for thee, drop it, go on to the next point. You've done your work, and that you have given. And that's probably the hardest gift that you can prepare, the most difficult gift that you can prepare and give to our sacred Lord, blessed Lord. And during Advent also, do not forget your little Advent wheat. It's not just for children, it's for grown-ups, more than for children, actually. Because those are the moments when you can accept contradiction without serious disturbance of mind. That's when you pick up that grain of wheat and plant it, that's when you are doing something big, very big. And as for men, who I'm always on the backs of men, who are the strong ones around, and the soldiers who are carrying the big guns around, you know, the he people. It takes a real he person to pick up that grain of wheat and go and plant it. Doesn't it? And when you're doing that, you think, well, this is silly. Nothing silly about that. You have done something to please, not the planting of the wheat. Almighty God does not need you to go plant his wheat. He can do that for himself. But what Almighty God wants from you and me is what this grain of wheat represents. I have done something against my own will. And I do it with joy. I do it with contentment. I do it with serenity. I do it with peace of soul and heart and mind. That's what God wants. That's our message during these days of Advent. And if everybody on earth would simply listen to that kind of a message, what difference that would make in a world that is completely consumed with hate and selfishness and all the other related problems. So as we advance Christmas, these are the things. And when you pick up that pot on Christmas Eve and bring it, men, women, and children, each one his own little planting, bring that. You're going to, again, I repeat, I've said this, especially you men, when you pick that up, you're going to say, dear God, what is he asking us to do? This is the dumbest thing I have ever heard tell of in my life. I am a man, and here I am carrying a pot full of dirt with a few strands of wheat in it. I said to you before, if you were carrying that pot full of the purest gold on earth at that moment and presenting it to where you are bringing yours to present, the pot of the soil with the grains of wheat is infinitely more valuable than the pot of gold. This is our message. It's simple, it's humble, it's sincere, and something that God wants of every one of us, my beloved people.